is there. Verse 28 and 29. Romans 8, verse 28 and 29, and then I'm going to pray. Holler when you're there. Amen. I got one amen. Everybody else? Amen. Okay. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Let me read this again. I want us to absorb this word. Amen. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God the Father wants you to look like Jesus Christ. That's the plainest way I can put it. He wants you and me to resemble his Son, and he wants us all to be sons of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's pray. Father, I just come to you today in the name of Jesus, and I ask that you change us. I ask that you change us, Lord. Do what it takes to conform us to look like and act like Jesus. And Lord, I'd like you to do it today. I'd like you to minister this truth to our hearts today. Lord, take each person here. And bring them to a place to accept change. Bring us to a place where we know you are in control. Bring us to a place, Lord, that we can trust you with everything. Lord, this is my prayer this morning. I ask that the Holy Spirit use me, speak through me, and let these words be yours, Lord. Thank you that we can assemble in this free country. Thank you that we don't have to worry about being terrorized today. Lord, touch our hearts. Minister to each one. Give us that word, whatever it is that we long to hear. That rhema word. And Lord, do all this in the name and power of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. This morning, I want you to look around a minute. Look at this building and look at the people here in church, the faces of those sitting close to you. Just do that. Y'all can bend your neck a little bit. Amen. You see, this is a different place right now than when you walked in. This is a different place than where you walked into this morning. All of you who came into this place are now different. You're different. Why? Because you've stepped into a new season of life. A new season. The reason for that, I just prayed for it. I just prayed for it. You probably just anticipated coming to a regular church service this morning. didn't even occur to you that you could be moving to a new level or a new dimension with God this morning. You just came to church. So I want each of you to look at your neighbors, and I want you to tell them, I didn't know it, but I just stepped into a new season of life. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you some other things that you can tell your neighbors too today. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Now, this verse reminds us that God is the God of seasons. Amen? We can easily identify the seasons when we look at nature. God created four different seasons. I know in South Texas, you only really feel like two, you know, wet and cold and hot and dry, right? But there are four different seasons, and each season occurs when the earth rotates as it orbits the sun. The seasons change. But the sun in the center of our planetary system remains fixed. It remains constant, right? Everything else revolves around it. As we consider our personal lives, we can clearly see the signature of the same artist. Much like the earth, our lives should revolve around the sun, S-O-N, Jesus Christ. Amen? And as time passes, our lives will change, entering and experiencing many different seasons, but the sun, S-O-N, remains constant. It remains constant in our lives. That's because the Bible says that Jesus Christ, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not change, but you and I will change. Amen? We will change. So in each of our seasons, God remains the same. God remains the same. However, God doesn't measure seasons with clocks and calendars as we do. He doesn't measure them that way. He uses truth and revelation in each season of life to change us into Christ's likeness. Amen? So whenever God gives you a fresh word, a fresh revelation of an old word, and you believe it, and it becomes a rhema to you, then you've just stepped into a new season. He's changing us. He's changing us, folks. And to that we can say, praise the Lord, over and over again. Praise the Lord. You're not leaving me alone. Praise the Lord. You're not leaving me where I was. Praise the Lord that we're moving forward. Praise the Lord we're becoming more Christ-like. We can praise Him over and over again for these things, folks. Amen. Again, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, the first part says, to everything there is a season. To everything, there is a season. So every change in our lives as Christians, we can label as seasons. We can call them seasons. And there is a purpose, folks. Listen to me. There is a purpose for every one of the seasons that you and I go through. There's a purpose. God, in His perfect wisdom, has a reason. He has a reason. So put this into your knower. There is a purpose for the process. There is a purpose for the process. Amen? Say it with me. There is a purpose for the process. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm real dry this morning, so I'm going to get a sip of water here. Now, I guarantee you that there are seasons you didn't want to go through. But you did. But you did, and you made it. Hallelujah. Amen. But even though through those unwanted seasons, you must admit that you learn some things. Amen. And you gain some wisdom. Hallelujah. You learn some compassion. You conquered some fear and so on. You learn some things. There's a good chance that you wouldn't have learned what God wanted to teach you if you hadn't endured that season. Right? If you hadn't gone through it. And there are plenty of seasons we've gone through that we have yet to understand why. We don't know why. We don't even have a clue. Don't even feel like we've learned anything. But realize this, saints, if God allowed it, there was a purpose in the process. There's a purpose in the process. If we simply trust God, we can be assured that there is a reason for every season. There's a reason. And even if you're going through difficulties now, or you've been through rough stuff in the past, doesn't mean that God is finished with you, because the Bible assures us that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that isn't any old work. It says good work. That means an excellent work. That means a perfect work, which is designed just for you. He's doing a perfect work in you. So I'm here this morning to tell you that you have just stepped into a new season. A new season. And how do I know that? Do you remember me praying for you this morning? God answers prayer. God answers prayer. I asked him to change us. Now, let's begin by taking a quick glance at the life of one of Jesus' disciples, one of the disciples with whom I believe we can easily identify, and of course I'm referring to the Apostle Peter, old Pete. In the context of this message, we recognize that Peter went through his own personal seasons. And as we take a brief look at Peter's life, we will identify three key principles about stepping into a new season. Three key principles. So if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write these down. I'll repeat them so you have time to get them. Amen? Three key principles about stepping into a new season. Number one, stepping into a new season brings new changes. Stepping into a new season brings new changes. Number two, stepping into a new season brings new challenges. Stepping into a new season brings new challenges. Number three, stepping into a new season births new champions. Stepping into a new season births new champions. Everybody get them? All right, let's start with number one. Stepping into a new season brings new changes. Change is inevitable. Change is inevitable. It's going to happen. Everything in life is changing, constantly changing. Nothing in this life stays the same. In my mind, I think I'm a young man. My mother, she always said, I'm not as old as I think I am. She was always older than she thought she was. Our mind plays a trick on us that way. But praise God for that, because we would probably be in worse shape if we felt like our age, right? Amen. We can look outside at the world all around us and notice things that are different today than they were 10 years ago or last year or even yesterday. Things change. Recent trip Bonnie and I took back to my hometown certainly proved that statement to be true. Most everything had changed, even some of the directions of the streets and even some of the streets. There were nice places I remembered that were either now in terrible condition or had been torn down. New homes or businesses were in their place. It was different, folks. It was hard to picture some of the places I had once enjoyed. Hard. Even the house I grew up in had burned down. It burned down, and there was just an empty lot to hold my memories. It was funny. It was eerie. It was different. Everything had changed. Amen? Some seasons are meant for things to grow, and others for things to die. Right? In some seasons, the days are longer, and in others, the nights are longer. Sometimes it seems like your days are with God, or your mountaintop experiences involve extended periods of joy, but then there are also those seasons when the nighttime seems as if it will never end. However, we must hold on to this truth that those long nights, when the tears relentlessly flow, that there is a new dawn coming, a fresh morning is on the sunrise. The tears will cease, brothers and sisters, and joy will return to your spirit. Amen? A word will come, a rhema word will come, and God will empower us with another revelation, a truth that will propel us into a new and different season than what we've been experiencing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So why does God take us into these difficult seasons? Most of the time, he gives us an uplifting one next. But why does he take us into these difficult seasons? Probably because most of us are creatures of habit. Amen? If God didn't alter some things to disrupt our pattern of living, we would become complacent, staying in one place without ever growing in faith or becoming like Jesus Christ. We'd all be bumps on a log. Now, I remember as a kid, I always looked forward to summer. And if it were up to me, it would have been summer all year long. Amen. Probably I preferred summer to any other season because there was no school. Amen. But in God's creation, seasons are bound to change. Constant change. Summer may have been a time to play, but responsibility always returned in the fall. Always. I needed to get back to school so I could learn some important things and eventually become an active part of God's plan. And I hope I'm not this morning. Amen? Now, Peter entered into a new season of life when Jesus called him to become a disciple. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 20, it says this, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting out a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Then immediately left their nets and followed him." Immediately left their nets and followed him. One day, Peter was just an ordinary fisherman until Jesus came walking by. You get that? One day he was an ordinary fisherman until Jesus came walking by. And when Jesus spoke directly to Peter, giving him the word that was ordained for him, Peter's life consequently changed immediately. Jesus simply said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Pretty simple word. We've read that for years. But obviously, this was the word that Peter was destined to hear, because immediately following the word, Peter stepped into a new season The change was immediate. Amen. He was transformed into a new creation from a nobody to a somebody. So in other words, Jesus' plan involved changing Peter into a new or different person. He was changed. It wasn't an outward change to a new vocation, but an inward change that revealed to Peter who he really was. Amen. So let's consider this part of this scripture a little closer. The word make in the Greek, put that up again, Sister Pat. Then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The word make in the Greek can also be translated sprout forth. Sprout forth. So, folks, there was a miracle waiting to sprout forth in Peter. There was a miracle waiting to sprout forth in Peter. And as it was for Peter, so it is for you. Amen? A miracle is waiting to sprout forth in you. A miracle is waiting to sprout forth in you. Amen. Consequently, the seasons of your life have served a specific purpose, and that is this: to nurture or grow that spiritual seed that is within you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can I say that again?
Yes.
The seasons of your life have served a specific purpose, and that is this: to nurture or grow that spiritual seed within you. Today, you have stepped into a new season, a season in which your miracle is about to sprout forth. Come on, shout. Hallelujah. This is good news, folks. Amen. So principle number one is stepping into a new season brings changes. Brings changes. Don't be afraid of them, folks. Don't be afraid of them. All right, let me get a drink of water, and we're going on to number two. I know you love me even if I drink water. Okay, principle number two. Stepping into a new season brings new challenges. Stepping into a new season brings new challenges. There is no doubt that when Peter was called to follow Jesus, that he faced not only new changes in his life, but also many challenges. For example, his faith was challenged when in the midst of a storm on the sea, Peter stepped out of a battered boat to walk on the water with Jesus. His faith was challenged. Another time, Peter's feelings were challenged. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Another time, his feelings were challenged. When one minute he was proclaiming Jesus as the Son of God, and the next minute he was being rebuked by Jesus, and then Jesus turned his back on him and was talking about Satan getting behind him. His feelings were challenged. Then Peter's traditions, his prejudices, his pride were also challenged. When he followed Jesus into Jerusalem, and there the Son of God, the light of the world, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, lowered himself to the point of a servant and washed Peter's feet. What would that have done to your pride? The teacher becoming the servant. The teacher becoming the servant. What a learning experience for Peter as well as for us. Amen? But folks, in all these instances I just noted, Peter stepped up to the challenge. He stepped up to the challenge. However, there was that one particular time when it seemed as if Peter stepped into a season of failure. It was the moment that Peter went from being a follower of Jesus to one who followed him at a distance. You remember the story when the people asked Peter if he knew Jesus. He denied knowing him three different times, right? After he had denied knowing the Lord, the third time the rooster crowed, bringing the words of Jesus flooding back into Peter's mind. Jesus had said, "Before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times." Now, folks, Peter ran from the scene, and he wept bitterly. Those feelings of guilt and remorse are exactly what happens to you and me when we step into a season where it seems as if all is going to hell in a handbasket. We feel dry and empty. And despite your best efforts, you can't help but feel like you've let the Lord down. It's at that point that you are vulnerable to the words of Satan. At that point, the one who undoubtedly condemns you, reminding you of your weakness and failure, Satan is ready to pounce on you at any time. He goes around as a roaring lion. The Bible says he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Do you begin to believe Satan's words? Do you believe that your failure will sever your relationship with Christ? Do you think you can never be restored? Or you may try with all your might to continue your walk with Jesus, but you find that you are now following him at a distance. If that's you today, I want you to remember that there is a purpose for every season. Every season. What Peter didn't know, and many of us fail to realize, is that Jesus' love is far greater than our failure. Amen. You see, when we fail to meet the challenge of a new season, there is grace and mercy from God that circumvents all our shortcomings. You can shout if you want to. Amen. After denying his Lord, Peter had a choice to make. He could have done what many of us do today. Peter could have used his failures as an excuse as to why he lost hope and just withdraw into obscurity. We've seen it. But folks, Peter had another encounter with the risen Savior. Amen. When Jesus lovingly forgave him, drawing Peter to himself and bringing him back into the family of God. Have you ever experienced that total forgiveness? Have you ever felt like a failure and Jesus came and redeemed you? If this has happened to you, then just shout with a hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, before Jesus ascended to the Father, he told Peter and the other disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait because something was coming. Jesus said to Peter, "Do not leave Jerusalem. Wait for the Holy Spirit." Wait for the Holy Spirit. They didn't know it, but Pentecost was on its way. So there in the upper room, Peter and 119 others began seeking God. They prayed. They lifted their voice in praise. They anticipated and they waited. They waited for the Holy Spirit. The hearts of those gathered in that upper room were fixed on one thing, and only one thing. They waited it out. They sought it out. They prayed it out. And then the Holy Spirit made his entrance and consumed that place. Brothers and sisters, in that same way, the Holy Spirit desires to consume those who get together with one heart and one purpose, who will wait it out, seek it out, and pray it out. Yes, amen. Amen. Then in Acts chapter 2, Peter stepped into a new season. A new season. The very season that you and I have stepped into into today. The same season. 2,000 plus years later, we're in the same season. Brings me to my last principle. Stepping into a new season births new champions. Peter was transformed from a fisherman into a preaching powerhouse. Those who knew Peter 3 years earlier were undoubtedly amazed and speechless to see him become a new champion for God. Look at someone near you and tell him, God didn't save me to be a chump. God saved me to be a champion. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, God transformed us by His almighty power when He filled us with His Holy Spirit. The change that the Spirit has wrought in you and me cannot even be measured. Can't even be measured, folks. The power that's been released in our lives has fashioned us into spiritual giants. No longer should we picture ourselves as sniveling weaklings, but as God's champions, designed, destined for purpose, and prepared for the challenge. God is calling His champions to step into a new season of power and prosperity. As we step into this new season, the world will recognize that we are children of God, called by the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. I know these things in my knower. I believe God's told me that. As we step into this season, the Lord shall pour out from His good treasure to bless you so that you will be able to lend and not borrow. You become the head and not the tail. Amen. You'll be above and not beneath. Listen to me, folks. We have stepped into this season. God is going to tear back the veil from the heavenlies to bring relief and release. Amen. Relief and release. Those who were once held under are now going over. Amen. Those who were once forgotten will now be remembered. Amen. Those who were once depressed will now begin to rejoice. Those who were once rejected will now be accepted. Amen. Those who were once downtrodden will now lift up their heads. Amen. Those who were once grief-stricken will now wipe away the tears. Amen. Those who were once poor will now say, I am rich. Those who were once afflicted will now become whole. Amen. Can you believe that a new season is upon you? Amen. I want you to know that where things have been lost, they will be restored to you, and some even a hundredfold. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Am I talking to the right crowd this morning? Amen. Amen. Have you walked through some difficult seasons? Are you ready to step into a new season? Amen. Have you suffered in silence trying to praise God alone? Have you desperately praised Him through countless tears? Have you attempted to lay hands on yourself asking God for a miracle? Have you tried to be steadfast, praying for someone else, hoping that another saint was praying for you? Well, I've stopped by to tell you this morning, folks, this season is over and you're stepping into a new season. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And that new season is on you right now. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Say with a shout of triumph, my season is here. Amen. There's a fresh anointing flowing my way. Amen. I am a champion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now I want you to put your hands in the air right now, and I want you to proclaim it just like a champion would that's standing on the platform of the Olympics. Amen. Hallelujah. Proclaim that you're a champion. Hallelujah. Right now, heaven's anthem is being played over you. Hallelujah. The banner of the Lord is being hoisted above you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And listen, saints, on God's platform, there are no second or third places. There are no silver or bronze winners. The gold is there that has been refined in the fire. Amen. The gold is there, folks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to be bold this morning. I want you to take this new season as God has called and ordained you, and He sanctified you to become a champion. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. So let the miracle that's within you sprout forth. Let it sprout forth. Quit holding back. I'm so reserved. I want to tell you something else. You're not too old for a new thing. Amen. The older we get, the less we think we can do. That's baloney. The seasons of your life, listen to me, folks. The seasons of your life have perfected you. They have done a work in you. There is no one else like you. There's no one that's been through the things that you've been through, both good and bad. You are special, folks. You are special. You need to claim that. You need to claim it in the name of Jesus. Amen. All this, God has all this restored, or He's got it for you. He's got it for you. It's yours. It's yours. Claim it in the name of Jesus. Claim it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to stand up, and I want you, by faith, to step into your new season this morning. What's that going to be, Brother Jerry? I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be for me. But I know with all my heart, God wants to do new work in each one of us. He's going to change us just as the seasons change. Folks, He has plans for you, plans to give you a future and a hope. And God's plans are always perfect. For a long time, I wondered how could anything be perfect if I was in it. It's not true. God's plans are always perfect. And He'll use you and me. He'll even speak through a donkey if He has to. He has the ability to perfect all things that concern you. Hallelujah. a new season, brothers and sisters. God's not done with you. If you've been worshiping Him from afar, if you've been following Him from afar, He wants to give you a great big hug this morning. He wants to draw you back into the family of God without reservation. He loves you. He loves you. And He has great and wonderful plans for you. Please step out into this new season. Please ask Him, Father, what do you want from me? I'm willing. I'm willing to do. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to say. I'm willing to work. I'm willing to do whatever you would want me to do, Lord Jesus. Because I know your ways are the right ways. Your plan is the right plan. He'll speak words to us that will lift us up. High above the heavens, He'll lift us up. If we just called on His name, He'll speak those revelations to us, folks. Hallelujah. You have something to share with your own spirit, and you have something to share with others. God is calling us, folks. I don't know how many days we got left on this old earth. I believe He's coming. I believe it soon. We want to be ready. When we hear the trumpet and the sky to the east looks a little funny, look out. Your redemption draweth nigh, the Bible says. Amen? And all these homesick feelings are going to go away because we're going home. We're going home. God is calling us home. But until He does, He's got us here for a purpose. And that purpose is to win this world for Jesus Christ. Now, God, what do you want me to do? I don't know. But He has a plan just for you. A new season. A brand new season. Hallelujah. Remember a few weeks ago we had some real crisp air, real nice in the morning. Beautiful. I want to enter into one of those seasons where it's just gorgeous. Hallelujah. If you need prayer this morning, I want you to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.